I do desire prayer this morning. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture here in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter. And the 13th verse, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." I believe the Lord would have us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. I believe that's His desire for every one of us. There's potential in every one of us. And the Lord surely is counting on His people to be that light and salt. In their action, they have a positive, salt has a positive way of seasoning. Light has a way of, it's quiet. It doesn't make a lot of noise, but it has a way of illuminating and showing darkness. The world needs more of salt and light. Amen. Shadows result when light is blocked. And the Lord wants us to, in this day and time, I remember Brother Leslie quoting a little saying and said, "The world at its worst needs a church at its best." And I really believe that today. And God wants to help us. So being a light means we have to have character. And character that's needing to brighten a life has to be creative and considerate and resourceful, reliable, and resilient. Those words that I looked up and studied, I believe is important to us today to have, to be able to brighten this world. We have to be creative. It does not do us any good as older people to sit and look at the younger generation and condemn them for what is not happening. That's not very beneficial. What we need to do is have something within us, even as we get older, to be a little bit creative, to have something that we are still considerate, we're resourceful, reliable, and resilient. Yes. To be the light of this world, God is calling us to be that, I believe, today. I'd like to think that here are some other words that mean to brighten a life. It means to inspire, to comfort, to cheer, to motivate, to uplift, to rejuvenate. You know, it's a big job, isn't it? When you get thinking about it, this is not just for us to come mainly here to a service and gather up all the good we can and then go out and not have anything to give to the world. I believe the Lord wants us to have words of life. I believe the Lord wants us to be able to brighten someone's life. Looking at the word inspire, this word inspire comes from the Latin word inspirare. I'll spell it. Maybe you can pronounce it different. I-N-S-P-I-R-A-R-E. Inspirare, which literally means to breathe into. Its root, spiritus, means to breathe and gives us the English word spirit, aspirate, expire, perspire, and transpire. To inspire someone, we must breathe into him the vision and strength he needs to accomplish a task. You see, I believe being the lights of this world, there is activity. There's something we have to do. There's not just the sitting down and stopping. There's something to breathe into a person a vision, to breathe into them a little bit of life is vital to their soul. It's vital to all of us, to the church. I believe the book of Psalms says that I may show your strength or something to this generation. There's something to be said about showing others what the Lord has done. And I believe there's a duty upon all of us to do that, to breathe into, to give someone strength and encouragement, a little help along the way. We all need that. Somewhere down the line, we all need that. Sometimes it's the filling stations are a little scarce sometimes, and you might be in a place where in your community you find it very difficult to find people even to know how to minister to. But let me encourage you, there are people around you that are looking for your touch. There are people that you can help. I have something here that I want to write down, and I hope you remember this, and I hope I do too, and that is this word, I'm not going to stop there, so keep reading. That doesn't look like it very much, but I was looking and studying this morning the Word of God and looking at some things, and this word motivate. Now, what was the scripture I read this morning? Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So to motivate someone, to help them to get out from a place that they're stuck in, and there's a lot of sticky places, and there's a lot of people that are stuck and hung up on themselves and hung up on spiritual difficulties and problems. There's a lot of places. We have a real challenge before us. There's a lot of things that God is expecting us to do. He's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to not just always stay in the little mold and stay in the little place that we're at, but He's wanting to motivate us and cause us to do just a little bit more, do something out of the, maybe it's a little bit out of your ordinary ways of doing things. That's a comfort zone. I want to tell you, my mother-in-law, it motivated me the other day with a Christmas gift she gave me. And as I looked at the Christmas gift, both my wife and my mother-in-law was watching me, was watching my expression. Well, she handed me, Mom, I hope you don't mind me saying that. She gave me a pair of house shoes. House shoes. And I looked at them and I thought, what are these Huskies up to? There's something behind it. Why are you giving me? But when she told me the story behind the house shoes, I looked and there was a little bit wore on the bottom, and I knew that there had to be a story behind these house shoes. I was sure hoping there would be one, and there was. When they lived here, and you all maybe didn't know them, but they were very poor people. And my mother-in-law is very resourceful. The Oklahoma Furniture that used to be here, wasn't that the name, Oklahoma Furniture? Furniture Factory? Yeah. My dad used to buy furniture and stuff from them and resell it. But anyway, the old furniture factory here had bundles of this cloth and material. And my mom would take that material and make things. Remember, Rosie? There's a lot of things, Trisha, you know. But I got a pair of house shoes that my mother-in-law made years ago. She told me 1973, no, you can't have them. Those are my treasure. And no, I won't wear them. In fact, I put them on and it looked a little odd. I thought I had them on the wrong foot and I swapped them and it looked, something was a little bit different, but we all had a big laugh. But here's what I thought. You can be the poorest person And you know, I hear people complain about, oh, I just wish I had this. If I could only had the money like that. It probably never will be. You're probably always going to be in a place where you're limited in what you can do. But here's the catch. We've got to learn to be resourceful with what we have.
Yes.
If you say, oh, I just can't, I just can't. You're defeated already. We need to ask God to help us to be resourceful. I want to encourage you. Being resourceful is this. And this really challenged me. Readily able. Readily able to act effectively. Sorry for the handwriting, but that's... Anyway, readily able to act effectively with limited resources, with limited knowledge, with being a human, with all of our handicaps, I believe the Lord still wants us to be the light of the world. So we're saying today in our own mind sometimes, well, I'm just not able to do this. I just can't do that. Well, I can't. You know, aren't we tired of hearing that? Really. I just can't. The reason I'm telling you that is because I've had this same excuse in my, Lord, I just can't. I can't go into all the details, but I can just tell you that the Lord wants to challenge every one of us with what we have. It's not what you don't have. And you know, I read and I believe that there have been people that acted upon and done with just what they had on their person or their resource. Moses, what do you have in your hand? I got an old shepherd's crook. He said, let's use that thing. Right now it's worthless, but you know, in years to come, in a few more months, a few more weeks, that old shepherd's crook is going to be turned into something you can't buy. People are going to think, if I get a hold of that, we can part waters. If I can get a hold of that, we can bring food in. If I can get a hold of that, water will be, I just touch the rock with that thing. If water's going to come out, it'd be worth millions. But it wasn't that. He said, what's in your hand? It was what was available. You know, to be resourceful, motivating others by being resourceful, using what we have, is so necessary. Motivating it, readily able to act effectively. Lord, help us to drop our excuses this morning, folks. There's some excuses get so old and they get so, it's wearisome. It's wearisome. I'd do this, but, oh, I'd go act this way, but. And I feel stirred in my heart this morning. Lord, please help us today. Being resourceful comes to the English from the old French word resource, R-E-S-S-O-U-R-S-E. And the meaning of that is relief or recovery. Its root is in the Latin resurger, R-E-S-U-R-G-R-E, resurger, which means to rise again. A resourceful person draws on whatever resources he has available to rise up again. What did he say? When I'm weak, Paul said that, then I'm strong. In other words, there's something down in there that God has done for me that I know that when I'm at my weakest and when I'm at my worst, the Lord's going to help me to rise up again. He doesn't want us to just play possum. I don't know if... I think sometimes I'm in another world. Because the younger generation doesn't even know. If I said playing possum, you're probably going to your mind, what is that old man talking about, playing possum? I don't have a clue what playing possum is. Do you know what a possum is? Well, I've seen them in a book. Well, if you catch a possum, or you see a possum, it's got a long tail, they're ugly, and have a woolly little coat on them. Some of them get, oh, so big, and they're a nuisance if in some ways. But anyway, you get up to that possum, and he gets so scared, he'll just lay over and act like he's dead. You might tap him on the head, and he'll just fall over like, and it's all over, and he'll lay there for the longest, and it's like he goes unconscious. And he'll just lay there and lay there and lay there, and you walk away, and all of a sudden he opens his eyes and he takes off and he's on his way. Playing possum. Do you understand? Y'all understand that? If we play possum, if we just want to roll over and act like we're dead, and we, you know, the Lord might let us do that. But he's trying to come by and say, I know you're playing games with me. Now stop that. You've got potential. Now get off of your hobby horse and stop using excuses. I've never seen so many people with so many excuses. Excuses for this and that. Just excuse. Lord, help us today. He wants us to be people that motivate. He wants us to be resourceful. He wants us to be able to take things that look like are worthless and make something out of them. It'll help us today. If we will learn a few of those simple things. I think in the Christian life, inspiring, comforting someone. Paul said one time that he was able to comfort others by the comfort that he had received. After our daughter died, I couldn't make any more death notifications. I told him I wasn't going to do that for another year, so I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go up and knock on somebody's door because I know that forever changes your life, and the person that I knock on their door is, I've had people tell me to get out. I've had people to scream. I've had all kinds of things happen. Until that happens to you, and I hope it never does to any of you, but it's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But one police officer told me, he said, you know, James, I think if you ever get over this, you can be very useful, the police department, in making death notifications. Oh, you know what? That's cost me a big chunk of my heart. But I think the Lord, he says one place that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit.
Yes.
You have a little bit more compassion on people when you've been there.
That's right.
It's more than just a mechanical thing. There, you know when they come to the door.
That's right.
It's forever going to change your life.
Yes.
But God wants to help us. It's not that you're ever going to have to do that. But it's putting heart into things. It's putting something of ourselves into it that makes it. Do you know where anointing comes from? It's the experience. It's the living for the Lord. It's the relationship you and God have made, and it's personal. Nobody can take it away from you. People can say all kinds of things, but you know where your Redeemer lives. And you've got something that'll take you through the paces of life, and it'll help you to make it all the way home. That's something we desperately need. Personal experiences. Something that you and God worked it out. You and God had agreements. You and God were in fellowship. You've made it through. And then taking that experience and breathing into somebody else. Breathing into them. Listen, I want to share something with you. I've been through this. You can make it. You're able to breathe something of encouragement into them. You're able to act effectively. You're able to let your light shine because you know who's lit your candle. You know where your strength comes from. And God wants to bless us today. If you'll read, I'm not going to go there to the book of Job and read all of this. I might quote a few things that he said, but in the book of Job, where Job said that, when your light shined on me, and I was doing well in life, there were people that that respected Job. I can't put my finger on it right now, but they respected Job and gave him reverence. Because Job said this, he said, I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame, and the cause that I knew not, I searched it out again. What? Thank you. This chapter tells about Job's experiences. He said, Oh that I were as in the months past, and in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, the good times is when we really think that we're doing the best. Job said, I could walk down the streets, and he said, I would see people, the young men would put their hand over their mouth. There would be people rise up, and they would acknowledge me that I came in. And you know, somehow we forget that when we remember Job, we go all the way back to all of his afflictions. We look back and said, oh, the patience of Job. And that's where we mark him. That's what we put a reference to, his patience and his endurance. Job was saying here, man, I just wish it was like whenever I was young and when things was going for me, the hand of God was upon me and I was respected. And he said, even the 13th verse, the blessing of him that was ready to perish has come upon me. He had so many things that was coming his way. And yet, today, we mark Job by all the things he suffered and went through. That's kind of where we connect with him. And when we're going through hard times, we connect with that part of him. What I'm saying is the negative things in life sometimes turn out to be some of the most inspiring, encouraging things for us. And God can use the experiences and all that we have. He can use those things to be a blessing to us and to others. And I believe by being creative and considerate and resourceful, reliable, resilient, those are areas that letting our light shine, it's very important for us to do that. If we can have that resourcefulness in us, and being reliable, you know, recently I was, there were some comments made to me about people responding or not responding to calls at nighttime. And it was chaplains that were, you'd call them at night and they wouldn't answer the phone. Well, I've missed a few calls, but it wasn't calls I didn't want to. I might have left the phone in the other room or something, but part of the job is you answer your phone and you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You get up and you do things you don't want to do. That's part of the job. And there seem like so few that will do that. It's the sacrificial part. It's the hard part. But sometimes you bond with people and make relationships with people in those dark hours that time won't erase those things. It's so important for us. So being resilient, being dependable, where people can depend on you. Don't just think it's the ministry's part. No, you have a part in this, of being dependable. Somebody, can they count on you? Are you, do you just not answer? Do you just give up? The Lord wants to help us today. Remember, those shadows are the result of light being blocked. And if there's dark areas in our life, maybe we purposely put up something there to keep the light out. I don't know. But I know this, that God wants to encourage us with being resilient, being reliable, being resourceful. There's a little song that says, brighten the corner where you are. And I was singing that this morning. Does anybody have that? Tricia, could you sing part of that? Do we have that? Does anyone have that? Can we sing a verse of it? Do not wait until some deeds of kindness or greatness you can do. Do not wait to shed your light. You know, most of the time we want the far-reaching light. We want to be that one that saves the thousands. We want to be the one that is in the limelight. I remember at jail one time, there was a baptizing, and I was in there, and this one man, he wanted the photographers to get him baptizing, so he knew the people better than I did. And so what he did is he done the ones and got the flashes of the camera, then he came to me, he said, you do that one. I did. I didn't know what happened, but found out later that was a murder. And he didn't want to be responsible. He didn't want nobody to see him do that. No way. He wanted to be the front and center of the brightest flash and the catchiest thing. But to do someone that had questionable character and brought in shackles and everything, no, he didn't want to associate with that. You do that one. Okay. And then I found out later, it kind of made me angry because I saw what was happening. I knew what was happening. Later I did. What's it sound? Do you have it, Rosie?
Do not wait until Sunday of greatness you may do. Do not wait to share your light afar.
Do the many duties of you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are.
Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where
you are. Someone far from the harbor, right across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. There was a story of a young man in one of the wars. I seemed like the Civil War. I'm not sure, but he kept hearing the groans of people crying out for water that were wounded and couldn't get back to their side of the line. And he begged his superior, he said, please let me go help. And he said, they'll kill you. It doesn't matter that which side you're going to help, they'll kill you. And he kept begging. He said, you do it. You're on your own. And that young man went out with water. And he began on both sides to give the survivors a little something to drink. No one shot him. No one did any harm to him. But he had to have the courage to get up and do. So what motivates us today? What motivates us? Do we see? Do we hear? Are we listening to what's going on? Are we handicapped and we live in our own handicapped and we want everybody to know we're handicapped and we stay there? Does that help anybody?
No.
It really doesn't. God help us today. There are things that He wants us to do. There's people to help along the way. Learning how to give comfort. And what was the scripture I read there at the beginning? Ye are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So if anybody should know how to give comfort, who would it be? It should be the people of God. It should be. You know, I look sometimes at the roster when you sign in there at the jail that put your church affiliation, and you know what? Church of God is not even existent, hardly at all. It's not. In Oklahoma, very, very little. And I know our immediate response is, we went to the jail last year. I did. And I'm not saying every one of us can do that, but I'm just saying that there is a need to comfort everywhere you're at. There is a need. It's around us. Could we ask the Lord to open our eyes just a little bit? Could we ask Him as we're here in this good meeting? I've enjoyed the singing. I enjoy listening. I enjoy the fellowship. But could we ask God to help us here to have eyes to see? When Job said, I was eyes to the blind and feet was I the lame, that's a challenge. But when he said, and the cause that I knew not, I searched it out. When I get to that, it's like, Lord, I'm a failure. Because there's so many things that I stopped short. Lord, help me. Help me. What people are going to remember us most for is our love for God and our love for others. I don't really care how much you know, but they're concerned about your love for others. Lord, help us. I don't know why, but in my mind, one evening I was climbing a ladder, doing some work up on the porch, and Sister Jordan's prayer came back to my mind. I'm sorry, a lot of you didn't know Sister Jordan. You don't know who she is, but I want to tell you, her prayer was so loud in my mind. Help us to have the love that hates no man. Help us to be ready for your coming, for soon you're going to come busting through the clouds. Help us to be ready as never before. Her prayer was coming to my mind. Lord, help us today. Learn how to give comfort, to soothe in time of grief or fear, to console. Literally, comfort means to strengthen. It comes from the Latin comfortare, its root being fortis or strong. In other words, meaning strong or force, and fort and fortitude, effort and enforce. That word is very powerful. Paul said, I'm able to comfort with the comfort that I've received from the Lord. Again, it is knowing And being readily able to act effectively, it's important to us today. A couple more things I'd like to share with you. Practice disciplines that inspire. To stimulate. Inspire means to stimulate, to aspirations and actions by the consistency and personal sacrifices of one's life. And I thought, Daniel, was he disciplined? Well, the Bible said he prayed 3 times, I believe, a day. Yes. And I don't believe there's a place in the Bible that has a record of Daniel being a failure. When he was casting the lion's den, that was not a failure. When he got down to one of his lowest points, in fact, Daniel's disciplines inspired Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, his contemporaries, and inspired them to stand alone. Yes. And what a story we've all shared with our children today about Daniel in the lion's den and the 3 Hebrew children that was cast into the fiery furnace. We've been able to share those because one man practiced disciplines. Daniel shared that with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he was able to convey that thought to them about standing alone, and what a blessing it was to us today. And I want to tell you that even the king was inspired by Daniel. He said, there's no other God like this in the kingdom that's able to do such a thing. He was inspired by what this man did, and God help us today to be an inspiration to people. The last I want to read to you a little bit. I'm not going to read all of this. You'd have to read the book of Nehemiah. But he motivated discouraged people. You ever think of that? They were in captivity. They were in a time of bondage. They were gone. There was things that, you know, you could have said, this is too discouraging. In fact, one place in the Psalms, he said, we hung our harps on the willow trees. We couldn't sing a song in a strange land. But Nehemiah inspired discouraged people. Not just encouraging people. You know, it's so encouraging to come around and see everybody shouting and praising the Lord, but when the chips are down, nobody's around to go in there and encourage people. Brother Ori said, I'm glad the saints aren't down all at the same time. And I remember Brother Salmon said one time he went in chapel and he said, I'm just going to see what effect it'll have if I just come in, kind of act like everything's down and the world's upside down and everything's wrong. He said he just went in. He said his just lacking to speak to people or smile, it affected the whole bunch. It will around us too. Let's give the world a smile. We've got something, folks, to give to them. We've got something to give to them. Sister Baxter, I hope you don't feel too embarrassed at me saying this, but they've got a big family. And that big family, they was having a get-together at a park, wasn't it?
Yes.
How many? I'm not going to go in there. There was such a large family that all of the visitors in the park thought it's free food. We're just having a big get-together here, and all these people lined up. So she said, looked up, and here are these strangers. They was in line. You didn't know who in the world they were. And they just thought, man, this is the greatest deal. And this was their family. She fed them. She said, we just kept feeding them. That's a blessing. But one thing about Nehemiah, I have noted, how could this happen that in 52 days they would rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? In 52 days? That's motivation.
Yes, it is.
When you become a light of the world, you know there is going to be things that happen and things begin to move. One inspired person can move a whole bunch of others. I don't know the ratio and proportion. I believe it depends on the inspiration from the individual. We can do it. We can do it. Who is that little woman that took all of those children across those mountains there in China, and they they made that dangerous journey, and she was caring and taking care of all those little children. They would have died, but that woman was motivated. I mean, it liked to kill her, but she made it, and all those children with her. So the results of our labors and our inspiration, only God knows what it will do for the next generation. Only He knows. I remember as a boy, I wasn't more than 2 or 3 years old, and I saw Sister Faith Stewart. Wasn't nothing special. But I just remember her. I remember her getting up to the pulpit. I had no clue what she said. But just her presence was something to behold. I believe she loved the Lord. And it was a big inspiration to many people. But look what he did. Nehemiah, he went out by night and surveyed the walls. There was danger all around. And here's one man brave enough to go against the tide. He went out at night. I want to encourage you, men, be men. When you come to service, when you come here, don't. And it's prayer meeting night. Lead out in prayer. For heaven's sakes, lead out in prayer. Don't just sit there and come and never hear a squeak. Well, it's true. We need to, you be men. You come in with a prayer. You come in service and you inspire people. Praise the Lord. Some of you don't remember Brother Fox, but he was, I don't know how much this man weighed. I remember one brother tried to weigh him on a commercial scale, and he jumped out of the truck when he saw what he was doing. He wouldn't let him weigh, but he was a big man. His hands on my hands, he would swallow my hands. And I remember sleeping in the same dormitory where he was at, and he would take two cots and put them together and sleep there. I don't know how he'd done that either, but he did. But this man loved the Lord. I remember at the Myrtle meeting one time, he got so happy he jumped up, and the cooks down in the kitchen, there was a wood floor, rattled the pans in the kitchen. He was, his presence just done something to you. He was, but his love for the Lord, it meant it was real. It inspired people. It was inspirational. And I believe the Lord is calling us today, men, to be an inspiration in your home. Be an inspiration in your home. That's where light starts. I didn't read that at first, but light starts in the home. I didn't have that wrote down, but in the book of Psalms, he talks about the light in the home, and it first starts close to us. If you can get your family inspired, you're doing something. Some of your greatest foes will be of your own household, but Lord, help us to be able to encourage and to help them. You mean a lot. But Nehemiah, he went out at night, surveyed the walls in Nehemiah 2:13-16, and then he gathered the leaders together, Nehemiah 2:17. He gathered the people together and said, I think we can do this. This is a very possible task. Remember, you're the light of the world. And there's going to have to be somebody that gets an inspiration. How did the work in Dallas, Texas get started? How did it get started? Well, it was just one woman, one person. She, you know, I believe we can have work. Have you ever been there lately? You all been to Dallas, Texas lately? You seen their nice child? I look all the way back. That one sister, she was a driver, I'm telling you. She could move things, mountains if need be, but there's a work because somebody was inspired. Lord, help us today. I'm sorry. Sister Doris, yes. There was more than one, but there was a few, and I... You all know Sister Clay's rich, right? She. Did you see her jaw drop? She's what? She's rich in heavenly riches. Yes. Yes. But you know, there's a lot to be said about looking at a situation. He surveyed the walls, he gathered the people together, and then he convinced them, we can do this. God was with us. In Nehemiah 2:20, there's so many things here, but he was committed to see this job done. He looked at it, we can do this. Man, we can do it. He organized the workers by their families. He organized spiritual leaders to be workers, builders. Nehemiah 3 and 1. And Nehemiah 3, 1 through 32, he kept records of those who did the work. You know what? This morning, I believe God looks to our motives, not always the results. Your motives. Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? He looks at the motives. Did you have a good, pure motive in doing what you did? Was Nehemiah looking for the appraise of men? No, he wasn't at all. Nehemiah was thinking, we have a job to do. There's something that needs to be done, and we can do it by God's help. We can do it by His help. And he went after the work, and they did something great. And I believe this morning it's not beyond our abilities to do things for God today. I believe that if we have the heart, I believe the Lord's going to provide the work. We were at a dry place one time in our experience. My wife and I, we were just, what do we do? And we read that scripture, let thy work appear to thy servants. And we began to pray that, Lord, let your work appear to us. And it wasn't long that we made a connection with someone. He was a former senator of Oklahoma. And he was an older man, and he lived there in Sepulpa, and we got acquainted, and he introduced us to this and this. And then it began to go from there to there. And it's small things that really your beginning will be in small things. And mine, it seemed like it just starts in small things. Your kindness to one person, your little phone calls or whatever you do. And folks, I'm telling you, the Lord is watching everything we do. And He is looking to start writing down and putting on record the things that you do and how you get motivated. Young people, what are you waiting for? Don't wait till you think, I'm going to get my job, I'm going to get my education, I got to get a wife, I got to get a home. And then, well, no, wait a minute, I'm going to go ahead and retire. Then I'll start working for the Lord when I retire. Someone asked me, it was a while ago, well, did you get started in the ministry? You got started when you was old? I said, no, I didn't. I got started when I was young. But I'm like David now. I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And if we get motivated in something, something inspires us, folks, there's just no limit to what God can do with us. He can help us, and he will help us if we will have that desire. It's all in our desire. Our desire. I had a man came and I was teaching a class one time in the jail, and he came in and he sat there in the class and he said, hey, I want to know how you got here and, you know, how to do this. And it struck me, that man is looking for phone numbers. He's wanting contacts of people to get him into that spot. In this spot, that's what he's wanting. And the Lord impressed my mind, tell him it was your burden that got you there. And I said, it was my burden. He said, what? I said, it's your burden. Your burden is going to lead you.
Yes.
The burden that you have to help is going to, that's what's going to motivate. And evidently, somehow, we don't want to let that get away from us. Because when our burden gets away from us, so does everything else. Lord, help us today. If our burden gets away from us, we dry up. We fizzle away. We flounder. We fail. And you know, sometimes good counsel is always really, it's good for us. Counsel is good for us. But if we're just counseling people to find out the success rate of what we're going to do, how successful it's going to be, and we want everybody's approval before we move, it's not strike one, it's strike three. Because most of the time, things that have happened have been impossible almost to do. You look in the Bible, it's full of examples of things that looked impossible to do. How 300 men could fight a whole army, it's impossible. How one man could take on a giant, it was almost impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So the Lord help us today. I've been inspired by my family, my father-in-law. I've found some of the notes that I read at his funeral and some of the inspiration that he had, and I was just still taken back at how he felt inspired to do what he did. Most of us, when we run off the road and the battery's dead on the car and it's in sand and it's in a desert, would not have thought of putting a rope around the wheel and jacking up the rear end of a vehicle, the third member, raising that car up off at least one wheel, get it out of the sand and putting a rope around the wheel and lining up a bunch of people to pull start it like a lawnmower. Most of us said, we need to call AAA. I've got the number right here. Right here, we got the number. There's no AAA. There's nobody there to help you. But his inspiration got him out of the sand. It got him on the road. Inspire. Can we breathe into someone? That I think sharing to the next generation that thought of breathing into someone is so, that is beautiful to me. I have been inspired by watching others' lives, young and old, and how they were able to do big things for God. You might think, I've got so many strikes against me. I come from a home. I have this problem, and we all have a common problem.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Really, the Lord wants to help us to get over that. He wants to help us and shine light in our lives. He wants us to be readily able to act effectively and to be the lights of this world. I really need the Lord to help me because, you see, as you get older, there's new challenges that come about. There's new things that come your way, and I don't like some of those challenges. On the flesh, that don't sound too good. That don't sound too good. Maybe, you need to consider. You're getting older, Brother Bell. You're getting older. You need to... I know. But Lord, help us today to not give in. We're called to be salt and light. Lord, help us to do that. Amen.